morning. It is my privilege to introduce our speaker for today. His name is Joe Mallory. He is currently at the Memphis School of Preaching and has one more semester to finish before he graduates on June the 18th. Is that right? His family is with us. Amy, his wife, with Rowan there. You've already put Rowan to sleep and you haven't even spoke yet. Camp, his son, and Betty May, his daughter, are up here with the young people. He has two more sons that are older. Brennan, who is currently at school with you, graduating the same time. I think that's the coolest thing. And then his other son, Caden, who is already married, preaching, and has a baby on the way. So Joe is about to be a grandfather. He is originally from the Boston, Massachusetts area, but calls Georgia his home. He spent much of his time there. He says his goal as a preacher is evangelism, sound preaching, accountability, and loving the brethren. I think those are wonderful goals. It is his deepest desire to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as the early Christians did in the New Testament, according to the book of Acts. And he is passionate about the Lord's church, seeking those who are lost and teaching the gospel plan of salvation. He's energetic, loves souls, and wants to work well with all people. And his prayer is that he will be able to encourage others and will help the Lord's kingdom to grow. I appreciate those goals. And the elders had an opportunity to meet with Joe yesterday for about 2.5 hours. And then we gave him a tour of our building, got to have a dinner with him and his lovely family last night, and we want you to come and preach the word to us today, brother. Heath and Travis, he's going to use the wireless mic, so do you want me to turn this one off? Okay, good deal. Come preach to us, brother.
So thankful to be here again this morning. I hope and pray that you will be uplifted today by God's word. Give me the Bible. I'm so thankful for our song service and for the humility shown in the song service that we had, the wonderful prayers. We were able to commune together as we fellowship with the Father and with the Son. What a blessing it is to be in Christ. This morning, I want to ask you a question, and the question deals with something that you probably have dealt with in your life. Have you ever felt in a spot where you just did not know how you were going to take the next step? Perhaps you know of yourself or from other people that they're having difficulty. They're in a challenging way at this moment, and perhaps even today. You find yourself in a spot to where it's just hard and you don't know where to turn to next. Let me share with you some inspiring words from the author of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. If you'd open there with me today, everything we speak of will be based upon Hebrews 10, verse 23 beginning. Watch how the author brings about this thought. Now remember, if you're having difficulty, as the Christians in this place were, they were going to go back into Judaism. There were those that were trying to encourage them to leave the faith, to give up on that. And they were discouraged. And they hoped that they could stand firm. They could stand fast. Well, it's easy for us to see in verse 23. Let's start there. The text reads, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." Can you see how that would be difficult? But when you hold fast, you can do that. Well, let's take a look to see exactly what this word means. To hold something fast. Picture in your mind with me a young child that has just been given a helium balloon. You wrap it and you tie it around their wrist, maybe in double and triple knots. Why? Because you want to make sure that they don't lose that. If they lose it, it's gone, never to be seen again, not by you at least. But how do you keep them from hanging on, from holding on to that balloon? Oh, there we go. What if it did not have any type of string on it? Could you still hold it down? Could you still keep it so that it wouldn't fly away? I love to watch them fly away. You can look for minutes until you can't see it any longer. But if you take one hand and hold it down, are you going to be able to make sure that it's not going to fly away? Possibly. But what if you hold it down with two hands? Where is it going now? Nowhere. Unless you let go. So let us hold fast. Hold it down. Keep it. Make sure that you have a firm grip upon the faith that you have been given. These men and these women were standing strong, but the world was pulling at them, was trying to keep them from growing. And what we see here, first of all, this author writes this: let us hold fast the profession of our faith, for what? He is faithful that promised. Wow, that's great. That's amazing to know that we can rest our trust in God. And so what we're going to do today is look at this text, Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. If I can get it to move to the next slide. Well, we're good, but I can keep it there too. That looks good. I like that. Somebody made that. Verse number 24 beginning. We have the thought of this holding fast of our faith. Well, it's all about the next step. How can we stay grounded? How can we hold fast? The author tells us right here in verse 24. Consider one another. Consider one another. Next, he tells us that we are to provoke one another. And thirdly, we will see that we are to exhort one another. Oh, somebody's doing it for me. All right. So in the first sense, we have 3 points to really focus upon this morning. And the first one is this: our exhortation, it must be intentional. Let us consider one another. Now, let's understand what this word exhortation means. What does it mean to exhort? It means to encourage. The word literally means to comfort. Now, when you break this down and look at the definition in the original language, I love the picture here. It really helps me get a sense as to what the Holy Spirit was intending to show. The word means to come up to someone and put your arm around them and say, I'm with you. We're going to walk together. Calling to one side. That's what this word exhort means. And that is the final step of the process. But you can't do that unless you have first considered and you have provoked one another. Now, let's take a look at this one specifically. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another. Who? Each other. What does the word consider mean? Let's consider the word consider. It means to think down. It means to have a full focus of intention. Look to the people around you. Think of your family. Maybe they're not sitting with you. Some of my children are up here. But think about those in this room that you love dearly, that you have grown together. There's an intention in motivation. There is an intention involved. It must be intentional. Our exhortation, if we're going to call each other to one side, and that's the key. That's how we can hold fast the profession of faith, because God has given us this ability to have each other. We are stronger together. And we can call each other to each other's side as we're on this pathway, as you are on, you're running this marathon called life. Hebrews 10, 1 and 2. Lay aside the weight of sin and let us run with what? Patience, with endurance. Because we can do this. How can we do it? With one another. We have those that have done it and are watching and are cheering us on. They're our cheer guides. They're saying, you can do this. But nothing's greater than what's at the end of that finish line. And nothing's greater than our Master, Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before us, endured the cross, despising the shame. Where is he now? He's set on the right hand of the Father. We can get there. We can run this race if we have each other, but it must be intentional. What does that mean? How can we be intentional? On purpose. We have to intend to do so. So I'm looking at my brethren. I'm looking at Brother Brian. And I'm thinking about Brother Brian. I'm thinking, what does he need? How can I help him? How can I call him to my side? How can we walk together? How can I encourage him? How can I exhort him in this life? Well, what do you think the first thing is? Pray. Prayer. I'm mindful of what Paul did. Paul was a wonderful exhorter, a wonderful encourager. And he used that word, exhort, and comfort, and beseech, so many times in the New Testament that I don't have enough fingers or toes to count. But we must understand that he gives us the pattern of this type of intention. Open with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. The book of Ephesians, he writes to the church at Ephesus, and herein he writes in verse number 15 of chapter 1. Watch this now. Intentional prayer. I'm looking at my brother and I'm saying, what does he need? Well, this may be the greatest need that I can give him, and that is prayer. Going to the Father, lifting up my brother to our Lord and Savior Jesus. Look what Paul did and what he wrote to the church at Ephesus. Chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, watch what he did. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you where? In my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. And he doesn't stop there. Revelation in the knowledge of him. He doesn't stop there. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Amen. Brother Jerry, for that thought. We have our spiritual blessings in Christ. Ephesians 1, 3. All spiritual blessings are found where? In Christ Jesus. Try to count those. Never. You can't. But what we find in this passage is something that Paul did. Paul preached with intention. He didn't just say, I'll pray for you. He prayed for them. Watch what he did. And then he told them exactly what he prayed to the Father. Let me ask you this. Can we do this today? What's the answer to that? Yes. So go with me here. I can pray this prayer to my Father in heaven on behalf of my brother Brian. And then I can let him know. I can tell him that I have prayed with very much of a specific thought of the things that I prayed. Now, watch again. Verse 16. I haven't stopped to give thanks for you, making mention of you in prayer. Okay, don't stop there. What is he praying for them? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. I can pray that he might gain the spirit of wisdom, might gain the revelation. Now, is it going to be a direct operation by the Holy Spirit? No. But I can pray that he would have the opportunity to study and to open up God's word and to find the truth that will bring light to a dying world. I can do that. And more importantly, I can let him know. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think if I did that and I texted him this tomorrow morning, do you think he would put his phone down and say, oh, man, I'm just going to go to the next thing? He would say, wow, I am edified. I've been built up. I preached this lesson in Somerville, Tennessee. And lo and behold, the next morning I received 5 texts from my brethren. Joe, I'm praying that you have a wonderful day today in your classes. I'm praying that you will learn all that you can, that you'll be a sponge and soak it up. I pray, Joe, that you will be blessed today, that God will go with you. I left that phone with bewilderment. I was so uplifted by that. That's intentional prayer. Colossians 1:9 says the same thing. Let's turn there. This is the partner epistle to Ephesians in the city of Colossae, written some later. But let's take a look at this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, watch, we did not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Brethren, have we been praying for each other? Yes, we have. A lot of times it takes place on social media. Praying for you. Praying for your family. I love those sentiments and I hold them dear. How easy is it, though, to say that and then move on and forget to do so? We've made it a practice to do so right as we hear of information. So therefore, I can say, I prayed for you, because I don't want to forget to do so. Intention. You're doing it on purpose. And what's it going to do? It's going to bring forth such strength in your brethren. To consider one another, to hold fast, to behold, to discover, to be a part of each other's lives in an intentional way. It's not some happenstance. It's something that we're doing on purpose because we love each other. Talk to someone face to face. Brother, I prayed for you last night. We prayed about this for you. Be very specific. Now, here's something else maybe applicable to you. Many of you have one of these in your possession, a cell phone. I'm using it right now to keep time. But on my phone in the morning, it's how I wake up. Maybe it is for you as well. Maybe you're like me, as I've joked around before and said, I set about 5 alarms. There's a 5:15, a 5:30. I'm seeing a lot of laughs and smiles. That's probably the case. 5:45 and 6 o'clock. I'm hoping that the first one wakes me up, right? But what if it doesn't? I'm counting then on the next ones to wake me up, to get prepared for my day. Did you know I recently learned this? That you can name those alarms. The first one is, get up. The second one is, you better get up. The third one, get up, you lazy bum. You know, you're looking at this and saying, how can I can name these alarms. Did you know this? And perhaps you've seen it. What if I put Brother Jerry as an alarm? Now, not for him to call me and wake me up. He's not my wake-up service. But what if I say, at 10:15, I'm going to pray for my brother, my shepherd. This is in your case, your elder. Say, I'm going to pray for him every day. Does he need prayers? He needs exhortation. Every one of us needs exhortation. Is that intentional? It doesn't happen by some coincidence. You have put in your mind, and you can do that today, tonight. You can go through and set alarms if that helps you. to remember to pray for specific people, specific things. That's intention, brethren, and we can do so. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, there must be an intentional warning. We're praying and warning our brethren. Now we exhort you, brethren, with intention, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Wow. Colossians 1:28 says this, whom we preach, Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I can do that. I can intentionally think about you and consider. Hold fast. How do we keep from falling or slipping on this journey, on this marathon? Hold fast, consider. Next, let's look to what it means to be continual. Our exhortation must be continual. To provoke unto what? Love and good works. Now, a lot of times people see this word provoke, and it holds a negative connotation in other scriptures, but not in this one. This word provoke, maybe you have in your translation, to stir up. It literally means to sharpen alongside. So if I'm going to sharpen my brethren, if I'm going to provoke my brethren, I'm not going to pick a fight and say, meet me in the parking lot at 10:15. And no, that's not what we're talking about. It's not the kind of provoke that we have. This kind of provoke is a stirring. It's a sharpening. Iron sharpens iron, the Proverbs writer tells us. Now, if we're considering one another and praying intentionally for one another, face to face, spending time together, it makes sense then that it must be continual. And this process of provoking must be intentional and it must be continual. One of my favorite ways to illustrate this is something that we enjoy making. You don't have to bake this. This is not a cookie that you bake. It's a cookie that you make. And we're training. I've got my chef partner, Betty May, over here. And we enjoy to make no-bake chocolate oatmeal cookies. Have you ever had these before? Oh, yeah. A lot of nods, and people are looking at each other now. I got your attention now, don't I? The process is simple. You get a pot and some milk, one stick of butter, whew, a cup of sugar, and a quarter cup of cocoa. Don't try to eat that by itself. It's not good. But when you put all that together and you turn the eye on, it's going to start to melt. It's going to start to congeal and come together. You've got to stir it, right? You've got to stir it. And I think probably our favorite time is, okay, here we go, it's time. Betty May, set me a timer, please, for 2 minutes. Because that's what our recipe book says. It's a family recipe book that we have. It says, make sure, in bold print, make sure that you set a timer for 2 minutes. And during that 2 minutes, you stir. Vigorously, you stir. Because it's starting to boil. You can't stir until it starts to boil. That's when you set the timer. And what happens, though, if you don't stir? It's going to burn. It's going to burn. Same concept. You like scrambled eggs? We had lunch this week, and I told my coworkers, Caden and Grace have chickens. So I said, I've got lunch courtesy today of my grand chickens. I've got 12 of them. And they're laying eggs at this point. And so he packaged some up and gave them to us. I love scrambled eggs. Put some cheese in there. See, I'm full of recipes here. Okay, you put the scrambled eggs in the pot, in the frying pan, and you walk off and leave it, right? Not if you don't want it to lose your frying pan and have smoke everywhere and a stench that won't go away for 3 days. What do you have to do to those scrambled eggs? You got to keep stirring them. Let me tell you what we're finding here in this verse. consider one another and provoke one another unto love and to good works. I need to be stirring you. This is a command. This is not an option. Now, if I decided not to scramble my eggs, it would burn. The same thing happens with you and I. If I don't stir you up and you don't stir me up, what's going to happen to us? We may be destined to doom, to eternal hellfire. But we're commanded, yet again, to stir each other up, to provoke one another unto what? Love and good works. And so, how can we do that? Again, let me think about this concept. I'm thinking about my brother Charlie. And I read a passage. It says, oh man, this is good. Oh, this is amazing. I've got to share this with my brother. Maybe it will help lift him up. He needs my exhortation. The Bible tells us that. What if I read that scripture and then I call him or text him and send it to him? Brother, I read this and I thought of you. Would that lift you up? Oh man, it would lift me up. Can we do that for each other? How long does it take? What about face to face? Hey, I thought about you this week. Brother Bob's in the back. Bob, I want you to read this with me. Look at this. Hey, this is amazing. We can pray about this. What are we provoking each other into? Unto love and good works. Why? So that we will not burn. I believe there's some scriptures here, yes. We've got Romans 12, 10 through 12, that tell us about a love that we must have for each other. Verse 9 says, let it not be done with hypocrisy. This is a love, an affection, verse 10, that we find that is a love that you have with your family, a family love. Are we not a family in Christ? This is what we can do. We can love each other in such a way, and perhaps this is one that you can share with each other. Did you know I love you? Did you know that we have a bond in Christ that we can continue alongside each other, sharpening each other? Sending scripture, true communication, drawing near to each other. Let me ask you the question next. If you have an adversary, as Luke did, or Peter did in Luke 22:31, that wants to sift you as wheat, that's what Jesus told Peter there. Does he want to sift us as wheat? Does our adversary know our very weakness? Does he know where he can get us next? No doubt. He knows what lures you. He knows what bait to put on the hook. Don't bite. Stand fast. If we have each other, if we are in continual provoking one another, what chance does the devil have against us? Zero. We can do this. We can call each other to one side and we can run this journey together, this marathon, because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mark 9, 43 through 48 is a reference that I have here. Don't give in to the adversary. If you do so, if you cut your hand off if it's causing you to stumble. You don't want to go into eternal life and hellfire. You want to save your life. Do so by provoking one another. Our adversary is working overtime. He's been working overtime for a long time. Do not sit back. Stand up. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's what we find in James 4, 6 through 10. It's all about being humble and having humility. Number next, it must be motivational. Oh, this. When you transfer from Keynote to PowerPoint, please make sure you check. I am embarrassed by this. It looked good on my end. This is what happens, though. But you are my motivation, brethren. And we need to be each other's motivation. In the sense to where we have each other and we find our courage, our determination in looking to heaven above by putting our arms around each other. We have a wonderful thought here. If you can turn to the scriptures, you find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul again speaks to the church at Corinth. I know you're studying the book of 1 Corinthians, but this right here is a wonderful study as well. In verse number 3 beginning, I want you to count with me how many times you hear the word comfort, comforting, consolation, any of the, that's the word that we're looking at today. Exhort, it's the same word in the Greek. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that he may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. By the comfort, wherewith you yourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. There's 6. And whether be afflicted, if it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation. I've already lost count. And our hope is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Wow, I think that's 10 times that word is used. Where are we finding that? In God above. We find that we are conduits. We're getting comfort from the Father, and what are we expected to do then? To send it out. Don't let there be a blockage. Let that come through. The mercies of God come from the spiritual blessings. But let that flow out to each person that you come in contact with every day. Do you remember the time? It's coming time again where you're getting your garden ready and you have the hose outside. Now they have these interesting parts that kind of curl up. But remember, with the green hose, you could kink it. And you could block up that water so that it wouldn't shoot out. Don't let that be you. Make sure that you let that water flow. Let that comfort that comes in and go towards your brethren. Each of us in this building, we need comfort. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, wherefore comfort yourselves, how? Together. And edify who? One another, even as ye also do. Consider again how this exhortation, it's not optional. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But what? Exhorting one another. Brethren, how can we do that if we're not here? How can we do that if we decide to stay away? We can't. You may be here this morning and you're worshiping God, but did you know also that you have a command to exhort? It's not really something it's not a weight on us. It's an opportunity. We have this privilege towards each other. And we can't do that if we're not present. The shepherds have set aside 9:30 for Bible study, 10:30, 10:25 for worship, as we're doing right now, 1:30. Perhaps if you're capable and able, you'll be here. But what if you are capable and able and you decide not to? Is that okay? Well, if the shepherds, as have been given the authority by the Father to set these times, couldn't you grow if you were able to be here? Would you be stronger for coming? The answer to that is yes. Make sure that you're determined to do everything that you can to exhort, to edify. In so doing, I'll mention the reference in Ezekiel. We have an opportunity and an obligation to reach out to those who are lost, to reach out to those who have fallen away, to bring them back. If we do not warn them, we ourselves are going to be in the same condemnation. But if we do and they don't come back, we will be innocent of their blood. But we can do that. We can go get them. We can bring them back again. So in conclusion, let's think about this. Who needs exhortation? What we've learned so far from this? All of us do. I mean, look to your right, look to your left. Look in front of you, behind you. They need you. Next question, who needs exhortation? That's everyone. I need to exhort. I need to be exhorted. You need to exhort. You need to be exhorted. So do so. This thought in mind reminds me of the Olympic Games. Derek Redmond, running for Great Britain, 400 meter. Perhaps you remember this years ago. He was running this race, and he was coming close to the finish line and making good time, and he was proud of his country and wearing his flag. And guess what? Like that, his hamstring tore. He felt like he couldn't finish the race. He felt, how am I going to take my next step? Here's what happened next, if you remember the headlines. His father was in the audience. His father ran down, picked him up, put his arm around him. He put his arm around his father, and they finished the race together. What if we could do that? Can we? We can. We can do this together. We can exhort and edify and lift up one another, considering, provoking, and yes, assembling together on the Lord's day and any other time that we have the opportunity to do so. Perhaps you're here this morning and you are in need of comfort. The Father of all comfort will welcome you. Our shepherds here will welcome you with open arms. This membership here, if you're visiting with us, we are so thankful that you've been able to be with us today. And we have an opportunity today, if you need prayer, please make that need known. We can know that you need prayer, and guess what we can do? We can pray with you. We can pray for you, and it would be a blessing. Perhaps you have questions about what you've seen today. Ask those questions. We would love to sit and study with you and look through the scriptures to see it is what the Lord requires of us, and that is to obey the gospel of Christ. We can help you in that area. But if you know that you want to desire to be fulfilled in salvation, obey the gospel today. The plan of God of salvation is simple. The first thing that must happen is you must hear. Hearing God's word being spoken. You can read this for yourself. This message has been really organized in a fashion to where you can hear the gospel. We have Christ that has done this before us, and we can go after him. We have each other. Hear the word of God. It will produce faith, Romans 10:17. The faith that you have is that faith that you diligently seek him. It pleases him, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. You must have faith, believing that God did what he said that he did. Jesus is who he said he was, and he is. If you believe him, you will repent of your sins, to look at your sin and say, I need to change the way that I live my life. I must change in action what I must do to be sorrowful with a godly sorrow, to know that I want to do a 180 in my life. I'm walking this way, but if I decide to become a Christian, I must turn and face and walk this way. Heaven is my goal. Christ is my Savior. His word is my righteousness that I will follow and trust. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. John 14:6. Are you willing to walk that pathway today? If so, you can be baptized. Once you've repented of your sins, you can be immersed in water. Why? For the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. To be washed clean as Paul was. Acts 22:16. And now, why tarriest thou? Ananias asked Paul or Saul. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You can do that this morning too, if you've been studying. The water is warm. There may be a couple of ladybugs, but that's not going to hurt you. But the water is warm. And we're ready to receive you. The Lord is ready to add you to His kingdom. If you have a need this morning, please don't leave. Please don't leave without having that need met. While we're here, we have an invitation song to invite you in any way that you need help. Won't you come right now while we stand and as we sing?